In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Folks, and welcome to their episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on May 11th, 2016. This is the official podcast from thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for From the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow For Whom the Cowbell Tolls writer Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I don't know. How about yourself? I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. On today's show...
What?
Mississippi State swept someone.
We have brooms.
Do you legitimately actually have a broom? Like on your person at this moment?
I have a vacuum in the same room as me.
Breaking news!
I have a vacuum.
Oh, I need the jingle.
Oh.
I hope my phone doesn't die. My phone's about to die. Breaking news! Breaking news. Speak about something.
What's the breaking news?
I want to play my intro!
Oh my gosh, why? I hope your phone dies. Like, right as you...
Well, I don't know what that is, but... Breaking news! Michigan is going to hold a satellite camp in Australia.
They're holding one in Pearl, where Mississippi State and Ole Miss will also be participating.
So, yeah, we swept Missouri.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. We'll preview the upcoming game against Troy.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some SEC baseball standings, because those are seeming pretty interesting as of late.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about our bad softball team.
A little bit.
That's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mississippi State, the Bulldogs, swept the Missouri Tigers. 8-2 game 1, 4-3 game 2, 3-1 game 3. Goodness gracious, we actually swept an SEC opponent. Can you believe it?
It was close at times to not going our way at all.
Yeah.
But again, this team just continues to find ways to win. Mm-hmm. Even in stupid situations. They continue to find ways to win. So, it's pretty good.
Well, game one wasn't that close.
No. Game one was fun.
That rhymed.
You're welcome.
An 8-2 win for the Bulldogs on Thursday. Dakota Hudson finally getting back to his old ways. He was pitching 8 1/3, giving up 7 hits, 2 runs, and struck out 11.
Only one run being earned.
Yes. And he was replaced in the 9th inning by Blake Smith to a sea of boos.
Boo! Boo!
Were you booing?
Boo! Yeah, I mean, I was kind of mixed about this one. You know, obviously you want him to get the complete game. But at the same time, he's still in college. There's no need to burn out his arm just yet.
Yes, I think we know he's still in college.
So I am ultimately not as upset as a lot of the fans were the moment it happened.
Now, let me ask you this about Dakota Hudson's performance.
Yeah.
Do you think it was more of Dakota Hudson's being great, Missouri's being bad, or both?
I mean, he still gave up 7 hits.
Yes.
But it feels like a lot of people draw contact against Dakota Hudson anyway. I think it's a little bit of both, but it's more of like a 70-30 split towards Dakota Hudson regaining whatever mojo he needed to, you know, he needed to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did strike out 11, and anytime you're striking out 11, setting out, you know, that's a career high for him. You know, it doesn't matter who you're doing it against, that's still impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, he faced 31 batters, struck out, you know, a little bit over a third. That's impressive.
I agree, it was impressive.
And he didn't walk a single batter. That's what's really impressive here.
That's walks tend to be the thing that ultimately is the difference between a win and a loss for Mississippi State this season. So yeah. Definitely no walks.
Yeah.
Can help. And for any team. Hitting-wise, it was absolutely fantastic. 8 runs on 19 hits, and we still stranded 12 runners.
You know, I'm okay with stranding 12 if we're scoring 8 runs a game. Just personally, like, you know, obviously you want to score more, but it's not like I'm mad about this.
How many home runs were there? I'm currently counting. That's one by Brent Rooker, one by Nate Lowe. Is that it?
I think so.
Yes, okay, so 2 home runs. One from Brent Rooker, one from Nate Lowe. So, yeah. This team continues to show its dominance with the bats. The bats, not the animals. We finally got to see another good performance from Dakota Hudson, which will be much needed for the remainder of the season, particularly postseason.
Yeah.
So yeah, just an all-in-all pounding for Mississippi State in Game 1. Game 2 was a bit of a different story.
Game 2 was a little close for comfort.
It was dicey. It was shaky.
It got a little sketchy late in the game.
Austin Sexton started, pitching 8 innings, gave up 4 hits, 3 runs, struck out 8.
You know, another good performance from him.
After 2 really good innings, it was getting a bit shaky, giving up 2 runs in the 3rd inning, and Mississippi State down 2-0 early, couldn't do it. The first 5 innings, Mississippi State couldn't produce a thing. We could not get a runner on base to save our lives. We didn't score any runs, and we had a grand total of 1, 2, 4, 5 runners left through those first 5 innings, it's in terms of getting runners on base, that's not horrible, but they were 5 innings of little to no production.
The panic started to set in a little bit because, you know, what team in their right mind would ever lose? You know, what self-respecting team would ever lose to Missouri at home when you are 4th or 3rd in the nation, depending on who you ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the mismatch here is definitely in Mississippi State's favor, and for this game to be this close is a little frustrating.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, Austin Sexton had a great performance. And for him to still be in a position where might lose, it's a little frustrating there, but in the end, still coming away with the win, getting the clutch hitting late in the game, getting that last out, you know, it felt good to get the win.
Getting back into the game, didn't have to jump to that conclusion. Feels good to get the win. You know, you didn't have to do that.
You're welcome.
The turning point of this game was the top of the 6th inning. Missouri getting the bases loaded with no outs, up 2-0. And at that point, I think a lot of State fans were thinking, yeah, this isn't going to go our way.
I mean, it was slightly terrifying.
It started out with a single. Then the next guy reached on a throwing error. And then the next guy struck out. But it was one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen. He struck out. Eli Marrero was able to field the ball when the runner was going to first. Eli Marrero was legitimately watching him going to first and didn't make a throw.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Again, it was one of those, just kind of bash your head into a door, what's going on kind of moments.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they had the bases loaded with no outs, and then strikeout ground out, or wait, or is that right? Pop or pop out, strike out, ground out, bang, 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 getting out of the yep. inning, and that is how the that is.
We won the game.
That was it.
Yep, this is what won us the game. That inning right there.
Mississippi State, then from that point on, State sort of just started slowly easing their way back into the game. A one-run sixth inning where we still stranded two. Another one-run inning in the seventh.
Stranded one there.
Yeah, a two-run eighth, which gave Mississippi State the 4-2 lead. And in the ninth inning...
The ninth inning was terrifying.
Yeah, started out with a hit-by-pitch. Reed Humphreys came in. They singled. A sack flyout. And then an RBI. Daniel Brown came in, pitched... only threw three pitches, I believe.
Yep.
And
gets that last ground out.
Barely got out of there. So it ended up being a 4-3 State win, a ninth inning in which Missouri still stranded two runners.
Yay.
But we were able just to get out of there.
Yeah.
I must say, I'm going to say this about this off topic.
Off topic.
The stats say flied out.
Not flew out or fly out.
Yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Flied out.
Would you rather have flies out?
I would want flew out.
Yeah, I agree, but, I mean... It's not what we get. You get what you get, and you don't pitch a fit.
Goodness.
Words of wisdom from kindergarten.
Okay.
You're welcome.
But it was a good performance from Austin Sexton. Hitting was pretty shaky until that sixth inning, primarily because of the getting out of that top of the sixth with the bases loaded. That's ultimately what turned this game around. And Mississippi State just got all the momentum from that point on. Missouri's Tanner Hook.
Hawk?
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. For some reason, they only have Missouri's pitchers throwing eight innings. Because that's what happened. I'm stupid. I'm gonna edit that out. That was terrible.
Okay.
That was absolutely horrible. Goodness. But yeah, we won 4-3.
Yeah.
That was an awful ending. Mississippi State then played game three, a game three in which I was pretty much certain we would lose because, hey, game threes.
What are we on the season on game threes? Like 1-13?
Well, I know we would have three wins in game threes at least.
A joke.
So on the season, do you want a so because it's hard to calculate here on the first opening series. There was the first two series they were doubleheaders.
Well, let's start with the Dodger Stadium Classic. Just
all
consider
right.
that. Our first series, because we don't really have a first series.
Okay. 0-0-1. 1-0-1. 1-1-1. 1-2-1. 1-3-1. 2-3-1. 2-4-1. 2-5-1. 3-5-1. 4-5-1.
Well, it's not as bad as I... You know, most would expect. Still not great.
Mm-hmm.
A freaking tie against Oklahoma sucks.
Yeah. And that's not that good of an Oklahoma team at all. None of those teams in the Dodger Stadium Classic are even that good.
No. Except for one team that has significantly improved since they went out west.
I see what you did there.
Yep.
That's it, because you were talking about us.
Yep.
But yeah, game three, a 3-1 victory for Mississippi State due pretty much because of the pitching. Connor Pilkington, not a fantastic performance, but for the most part, it was good.
I'm glad he was going up against Missouri. Let's just put it that way.
Uh-huh. Gave up four innings, five hits, one run, struck out four. Daniel Brown came in, and he won the game.
Yeah.
Pitched four innings, fresh off of his three-pitch performance the day before. pitched four innings, gave up three hits, no runs, struck out three, and then Reed Humphreys comes in and just goes strikeout, strikeout, strikeout in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Hitting-wise, it wasn't fantastic, but that seems to be the case in all of our Game 3 wins. Against Oregon, well, I won't count Oregon since they're not that good. Florida was a 2-1 win.
Which team is worse, Oregon or Mizzou?
Oregon was a 5-2 win. That decent hitting there, I guess. But in SEC play, the two Game 3 wins, a 2-1 win over Florida and a 2-1 win over Alabama. So, yeah. A 3-1 win over Missouri, in which our pitching was very good and our hitting wasn't very fantastic, but still got the job done, tends to be what the norm should be for any Game 3 win from this point on.
Yeah. You know, of note, Reed Humphreys got his 6th save of the season.
Yes.
It's been a little while since we've had a closer.
I wouldn't consider Reed Humphreys a closer.
You would or wouldn't?
I would not.
I mean, he's the closest thing we've got, though, is what I was trying to say. Whatever. He's our closer.
No.
I'm sticking with it. He's our closer until proven otherwise.
Innocent until proven guilty?
You know, one thing that is interesting to me is that the three strikeouts that he had in the ninth inning, you know, this post-game notes says that's the second most of his career.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot. But he's not really used a whole bunch. So, yeah. This was fun. A fun series. Finally getting a sweep. The last sweep came against then number 10 Oregon. Oregon's not number 10 in the nation anymore.
Nope.
So.
Hey, Ethan, look at my last tweet. I think you'll like it.
I don't trust you. Where is it?
On my profile.
How long ago did you tweet this?
Like 10 minutes.
10 minutes ago? What? That's so long. Where is it?
Well, before that, the last tweet I had was 3 days ago. So.
2 days ago.
Oh, my fault.
Oh. Charlie Burris jokes. Vern Lundquist jokes. Gosh. Oh, man.
But yeah, a series sweep for Mississippi State, improving to, what's our record now?
Very good.
33-14-1, 15-9. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about SEC baseball standings, shall we?
SEC baseball standings. Yay.
That was very unenthusiastic.
Yay. I mean, I just don't really care all that much. We're one game behind A&M, but because of the tiebreaker, we have to get two games.
I know that this is the wrong sport, but I just love this theme song so much, so I'm going to play it anyways.
Yep. This has nothing to do with standings.
It's about the
all.
Southeastern Conference. That's what America.
Stupid.
I love you too. Why are you getting all mad?
Where's this? Okay, Southeastern Conference.
Mississippi State, currently sitting second in the SEC West, fourth overall behind Florida, South Carolina, and Texas A&M. A game and a half of the leaders, Florida and South Carolina, and you may be wondering, a game and a half? How does that happen? Well, and that's exactly how they speak, by the way. Well, because Florida and South Carolina's game three of their series was canceled due to rain.
Yep.
That's huge for us.
That's very big for us.
So, let's go. So, I mentioned a game behind Texas A&M in the West, a game and a half.
You mentioned that.
Behind.
I mentioned that.
I did mention that.
I mentioned it too.
I didn't hear you mention it because I don't pay attention to what you say. But we're a game and a half behind Florida and South Carolina.
You.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. So we're a game and a half behind South Carolina. You're hired again.
Yes, let's go ahead and take a look at each school's remaining schedule. We'll start with the Aggies, since they're in the SEC West. A very, very, very difficult slate for Texas A&M remaining. They have to travel to South Carolina, and then they're at home against the Rebels of Ole Miss.
Those are definitely, you know, not guaranteed wins by any stretch of the imagination.
And if you're curious, right behind Mississippi State is Ole Miss and LSU with a 14-10 record, a game behind State, but we have series wins over both. So if we do end up tying, we would get that tiebreaker. The only school that is remotely close to Florida and South Carolina in the East is Vanderbilt, and they're 2.5 games behind. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, Texas A&M, a very difficult, very, very, very difficult slate for the remainder there. I'd say that we would probably want South Carolina to take two of those games. In that case, we would assume that State would either be tied or in solo first.
We would need South Carolina to take two and Ole Miss to take one, realistically, for us to have the cleanest shot at getting the West.
In that case, Texas A&M would go 4-2 down the stretch.
Which I think they'd still be happy with.
Yeah. But the thing is, 4-2 down that stretch is very impressive. That they may not even do that. I'd say that's probably a good bet for them. But South Carolina's remaining schedule, I mentioned Texas A&M. And then they go at Alabama, which is a tricky series. But the problem about South Carolina ultimately taking 2 out of 3 is we'd assume that they're going to take the series from Alabama.
You would assume that. I mean, knowing Alabama, anything can happen there.
So, I'll ask you this. Would we want Texas A&M to take 2 from South Carolina and then lose 2 to Ole Miss? We're going to have that. We're going to have Ole Miss win a series over Texas A&M, in my opinion. Because the best way we could possibly is for South Carolina to go 4-2 at best down the stretch.
I'm more concerned about winning the West than I am winning the entire SEC.
Yeah, I can see that, but I really don't. But there are no trophies given out for winning the Western Division of baseball.
So. No, no.
And finally,
whatever happens, we have to sweep.
Yeah.
To really have.
And Florida has Vanderbilt and then LSU in Baton Rouge remaining.
And there's a good chance that they don't win either of those series.
I think they will, but. But yeah, I know your point. So you mentioned it that I have the same opinions that for Mississippi State to really have a legitimate, like, just sort of, I'm not gonna say set in stone, but we can feel pretty safe about winning the West or possibly the overall conference is if we go 6-0 down the stretch, which is doable.
Given the two teams we have left.
Knowing that we have Auburn, and then Arkansas and Starkville, who are 6-7 in the SEC West.
Yeah. Wait, just time out.
Okay.
You know, 2 months ago, if I would have told you at this point in the season that Auburn had more SEC wins than Arkansas, would you believe me?
No, I would think you're absolutely incredibly insane.
And that's... You know, Auburn doesn't even have a winning record.
This is an Arkansas team that made it to Omaha last year.
Yeah.
But if we go 5-1, there is a chance we could possibly win the West or the conference. Once again, it's very slim. Really, for us to have a legitimate, true shot at winning the conference, we're going to have to go 6-0 down the stretch.
You know, 5-1 would get us the West, realistically, pending, you know, assuming that A&M doesn't go on some miracle stretch and take all the games they have left.
The thing about that, A&M could easily go 4-2 down their stretch. I mean, I know it's very difficult, South Carolina and then Ole Miss, but they would have to go 3-3. And this is an A&M team that has, through 8 series, only 8 conference losses. So they would have to almost half the number of conference losses over an 8-series stretch in the course of 2 series. Do you really see that happening?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with us, not that Ole Miss has been incredibly inconsistent, but against some better competition, they have been slightly inconsistent. So, you know, anything can happen there. But I would expect that, you know, A&M goes realistically 4-2 down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because it's somewhat interesting.
That is interesting. You know, I think how everything will pan out will be just kind of a wild finish for the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even looking at the bottom feeders, looking at trying to figure out who the last team in the SEC is going to be, because you've got Tennessee, Missouri, and Arkansas all tied at 7-17. So whoever gets that last spot is going to be fun to watch too. Personally, I think that is going to be as entertaining as watching the top four teams trying to figure out who wins the SEC regular season title.
Yeah.
So watching sucky teams try to battle it out is just as fun to me.
So now let's go ahead and talk about the Troy Trojans.
Zach Houston's going to get the start tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's kind of an interesting...
Are you surprised they're not going with Ryan's here?
I'm a little surprised that Keegan James isn't getting it, actually. But that's just me.
All right. Troy, the mighty Troy Trojans, they are 27-21 overall with a 12-12 record in the Sun Belt Conference. This is a team that started out 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-7-0. So a very solid start, but have gone 20-21 over the last 41 games.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
This, looking at their schedule, they have some good wins. They have a win over UAB. They lost to UAB. They have a win over Auburn in 11 innings. But some losses include a loss to Alabama on what they call Trivia Tuesday.
Trivia Tuesday?
Yeah.
What?
A loss to Auburn. They lost to Southern Miss. Lost to Michigan State, lost to Samford by 14 runs. They lost to UL Lafayette by in a 2-3 series. Got swept by Little Rock. They took the series against New Orleans, but they lost a game in that series. They lost to Jacksonville State. Lost to Alabama again. Lost a series to UT Arlington, which included a 13-run loss. They lost a series to UL Monroe, and I believe they just lost to Auburn, like, just now.
Just now?
Yeah.
Well, we're not recording on our normal day. Things are a little bit different.
Let me make sure I got that right. I think they just did lose to Auburn.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Auburn has been
a weird
team.
Auburn defeated them 7-2. So, yeah. Let's take a look at their stats.
Okay.
Or I think, actually, I know. I think they may have... their men's golf team won the Sun Belt Championship.
Cool.
Let's see if they have their game notes up. Yes, it's a whiteout!
It's a whiteout?
It is a whiteout, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Let's take a look at these game notes here.
Oh, their game notes are laid out weird.
Yeah.
Not a fan. This is not great. Not great at all.
I'm looking for stats. Where are the stats?
I don't see stats. Oh, stats, where art thou?
That was a good one.
No, it wasn't. Don't lie to your boss.
You're not my boss.
I am, though.
No, not anymore. Not yet.
Not. What do you mean, not yet?
It hasn't been announced yet. It's only been announced in your mind.
No. I mean, I've signed the contract and everything.
Oh, well, it hasn't been announced yet. It has to be announced.
Just because...
It has to be announced.
Just because he hasn't written his piece yet...
Has to be announced.
Doesn't mean it's not true. It's in my Twitter bio,
you dork. I'm looking for stats!
I don't see stats! let's go to their website. I don't see stats in their game notes at all.
All right, so 2016 statistics. This is a team that has a team batting average of 261.
Ew, not great.
They have scored 427 runs in 48 games. Let's see how many. Let's see the average there. They average. That's not right.
How many runs and how many games?
Is that really right? Yeah.
Just give me the numbers.
48. They average 8 runs per game.
What?
Huh?
That is absurd.
Oh, I was looking at hits.
You dingbat.
235 divided by 48. They average 4 runs per game.
Is that including tonight's game?
No, they scored 2. So that would be 237 divided by 29. Welcome to
divided by 49.
49. They average 4. It's the same thing. They average 4 runs per game. Pitching wise, I would love to know who they're starting.
Ah, crap! It's a freshman.
Let's see. Oh, Corey Gill. They are starting him. Corey Gill. Who has 13 appearances, 6 starts, has a 2.72 ERA, has a win-loss record of 3-2. He has 2 saves on the season. He has given in 43 innings, he has given up 30 hits, 14 runs, has a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 43-20.
Hmm.
I'm gonna see some other if he's played in any other, if he's pitched in any other games against decent opponents.
Okay.
Let's find Alabama. Let's see if he pitched against Alabama. Yes, he didn't start, though. But against Alabama, he came in relief. Pitched 3 2/3, gave up 4 hits, 2 runs, struck out 4. He got the loss in that game.
His best performance came against Alabama State. On May 4th.
May 4th, let's see. He got seven innings. He got the start there. 7 innings, gave up 5 hits, 1 run, struck out 5. But I don't know how good Alabama State is.
Probably not great. Highest number of strikeouts came against Northern Kentucky. That was at the beginning of the season, February 21st. He got the start for 5 innings. So,
according to the stats, he seems like he's a pretty good pitcher. We don't know how he does against good opponents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will find out soon enough.
Yeah. So, I guess that's that for a prediction. Or for a preview.
For preview?
Yeah, you got a
preview. I mean, there's the biggest preview that we can say. Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that we haven't said yet is that their pregame notes suck. They're just awful. They don't have stats. They don't have anything useful. So that's the only thing we can add there. Prediction time.
You never gave me a prediction.
Huh?
You never gave me a prediction.
You didn't ask for one.
Yes, I did.
When?
Earlier. I said I want a prediction.
You want a prediction?
Yes. What's a prediction for this game?
Da, 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 da. We win something like 8-5.
Oh, you don't have confidence in our pitching?
It's been, you know, tweeted out that Cohen is planning on using multiple pitchers and cycling through guys pretty quickly, probably to save them up for Auburn, I would assume. Not use any one guy too long. Knowing that, I just think that we're likely going to go through several guys and pull them before they're doing bad and putting guys in compromising situations, and I just, you know, 8-5 is good for me.
I'm going to say State wins 10-3.
Oh. So you're taking 2 runs and flipping it?
Yes.
Okay. That works for me.
All right, so I guess that'll do it for this episode of the... Oh, we got questions.
No. Well, no. Slow down.
Oh, we get to grab the wall?
Grab the wall.
Okay, so it's time to talk about softball.
Yeah,
it's softball time with Ethan.
Yeah. The season's not been fun at all, but they finished out the regular season yesterday. Well, 2 days ago as you listen. They actually run-ruled Alcorn State and no-hit them. Casti Knutson threw a no-hitter, the 18th in school history. State improves to 26-30 on the season, which is not good. Pretty sure this is the first time under Van Studeman that she's had, that Mississippi State has had a losing record under her. And this season is remarkably similar to what State went through with baseball last year. You know, it's a young team, and hoping they improve. But just statistically, they're in a lot of categories. Batting wise, they're either 12th or 13th in the conference, and there's only 13 teams. Yeah, they have a good couple of individual performances from folks like Reagan Green and Kayla Winkfield, who are up there in their categories in the nation, amongst like top 150 players in the nation or whatever. But as a whole, this team has struggled. So it's good to see them end the season, the regular season, on a win, or on a very good win against a very bad team, before having to take on Alabama tomorrow. And yeah, Alabama is the fifth seeded team in the SEC softball tournament. They're going to play game four tomorrow night at 6:30. And then if somehow State manages to win that, they're going to have to take on number four seeded Auburn.
Yeah, we're going to lose in the first round. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so let's get to questions.
Yeah.
Mr. Vanderlip.
Yay, Mr. Vanderlip.
The large dog trademark at KT Vanderlip on Twitter asks, number one, where would you have State ranked in the For Whom the Podcast Tolls poll this week?
We need to make a poll.
I'm going to say three.
I'm going to say three.
Number two, in remembrance...
Hey, wait.
Okay.
Two of the main, like, five polls or whatever...
Yeah.
...have all, you know, SEC in the top three. Would you tend to agree with that assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, in remembrance of El Tractor Cito, can we start calling Nate Lowe La Machina, the machine? Donald Trump doesn't like this question.
For those that don't remember, El Tractor Cito is the best nickname ever for a football player named Derrick Henry. I like this name. I'm happy with this name. We need a nickname for Jake Mangum now, besides Mangum P.I.
No, that's his nickname.
We need a Spanish nickname.
No,
now.
We don't need Spanish nicknames for everything. Mangum,
yes,
P.I. is his nickname.
Whatever.
Number three, what would you call it? What would your walk-up music be? Ooh. Wow, I'm not prepared for this question.
I had something. Let me scroll through my...
I'm not prepared for this question.
You
know, I have an answer, but I don't know if it's well-known.
What's your answer?
Ethan, we were just discussing this group before the show.
21 Pilots?
Yes. Have you heard their song Ode to Sleep?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, there's this beginning part that's cool. So, like, the first 30 seconds of that song?
Yeah.
That.
I'm going to go a little bit different here. And you know who Rick Ross is, right?
He's the dude with the beard.
Okay. I'm going to go with Rick Ross's remix of Royals.
Is it rap?
It is rap.
I don't like it. Number
it's
four.
It's a remix of Lorde's song,
that's
Royals.
Which is one of the worst songs ever made. Number four.
It's.
Are we going to get a John Clark trifecta podcast before the end of baseball season?
Unfortunately, John is currently in not so great condition, and He's a good friend of the show, so we ask that you pray for him. He's in our thoughts and prayers. And, as soon as he's healthy, we'd love to get him back on the show. So,
Number five.
I'm not sure that answers that question directly.
I don't know, the answer. Number five, is it really breakfast if eggs aren't involved?
I mean, you can have breakfast with cereal.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's called cereal.
Or waffles. Or pancakes.
Waffles over pancakes, though.
You probably need to... Don't you need eggs? No. I'm thinking, like, real cakes.
Ethan, waffles or pancakes?
Ooh.
Say the right choice.
I'm gonna go with pancakes.
Oh my god, no. We have something else we're disagreeing on?
I mean, I'd rather go...
So you like IHOP over Waffle House?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a funny story.
That caught me off guard. Goodness.
He was like 17 and traveling in Florida and couldn't find a hotel that he could afford. So he just went to an IHOP and ordered like the never-ending plates of pancakes or whatever. And then he'd eat a plate or two and then take a nap for like 3 or 4 hours during the night, wake up, order a cup of coffee, and then order another plate of pancakes since he was doing the never-ending plate and hadn't left. He could get just another free plate of pancakes. And then he'd eat those pancakes, drink that coffee, take another nap for like 3 or 4 hours. And then he'd just do this from like 8 at night until like 8 in the morning and then left.
I would get tired of pancakes.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I just feel like it's a pretty great way to spend the night somewhere if you can't find a hotel. But I don't know what towns in America have an IHOP but don't have a decent hotel that you can go to. I don't know why that didn't work out exactly.
Alright, so that'll do it for this episode of From the Podcast Holes. Ethan Lee, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? I mean, there's going to be big news announced tomorrow.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it. I'm just saying there's going to be big news announced tomorrow.
So, on Thursday...
Tomorrow!
We'll talk about Mississippi State's game against Troy.
Yeah.
We'll preview Mississippi State's upcoming series against the Fighting Auburn Tigers. And... That's it.
Yeah.
So, until then, thank you all for listening, and remember to be #...
Not a douchebag on Twitter.
Very quality. Right. Goodbye.